Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Whatever. It's Friday. What a week this has been. I was on the air Monday. Most people were off. That's why you love me, because I came to work on Labor Day. And I came to work on Labor Day because I respect the dignity of labor and of work. I was raised with the work ethic that only immigrants really still have, because I'm an immigrant's son and proud of it. And the fact of the matter is, I returned to Ellis Island. It was just last week. It's hard to believe it, for that party. And I gave a little speech, a six-minute speech, which I'm going to play for you again on the show if you missed it Monday, because many of you were like out of town on Monday. We have stuff from the week that's amazing. Radio sound bites from the week, all the news that's coming up today. Some of it's so hard to talk about that I don't know if I should. I mean, you know, the story I wanted to open with, which I refuse to open with, but I'm going to let you know what I was going to open with, but I'm not going to open with. It came out that a Nigerian Muslim convert cut the 82-year-old woman's head off in her backyard. Now, that's a story I was going to talk about, but I'm not going to talk about another Muslim convert cutting off a woman's head with a machete in London. Because if I do that, you'll consider me to be too grotesque. 82-year-old woman, white woman, by the way, a retired Italian cafe owner, is in her backyard in North London when a 25-year-old recent Muslim convert, black man, comes at her with a machete and cuts her head off. And the police say it was not an act of terror. Was that an act of love? Is that an act of love in England? I don't get that one. You know, England has become so bad that political correctness is so out of control in England. If it happens here, we're very close here. Should I stop? See, this is what I was going to do, and here I go again. Play Jumping Jack Flash again. I don't want to do this. I don't. If I read one more story of another Muslim convert going on a jihad, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's why I have to hear a Jumping Jack Flash again on the Savage Nation. Without the build-up, you know, maybe the fast part. I killed the record. I heard it already. I don't even like it. I got a migraine. You know, the news is so bad. We are in such a war where they're trying to kill all of us and convert us. Oh, I don't mean the average Muslim. After all, John Kerry and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton tell us the greatest problem facing the world is climate change. It's not the new jihad. No, no. The biggest problem is climate change, which doesn't exist at all. The biggest problem for them is not climate change, is that people don't believe it. That's the real problem. I have good news. Wait, I'll give you some good news. Good news is that a peace agreement was signed in Ukraine between Russia and Ukraine. That's bad news for Brzezinski. Oh, was he unhappy. There's a big new Brzezinski. If you were casting a movie for World War II, let's put it this way, he would have been on the other side reporting for Goering, in my opinion. And that's neither here nor there. It's one man's opinion. But Brzezinski, who's the architect of the Arab Spring, along with Hillary Clinton, is so unhappy that there's a peace agreement in Ukraine, he's besides himself. The only other person who's more unhappy than him is John McCain. He's fuming. John McCain is fuming that we couldn't get weapons to Ukraine in time to stop the peace agreement. Is John McCain as crazy as he appears, or he's just owned by the munitions manufacturers, the war machine? I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is with McCain. I pray to God. I have one prayer for the election. I pray to God John McCain doesn't run as a Republican. That's all I can say. There's one other scoundrel that better not run, and that's Newt Gingrich. If Fatso runs again and undermines Romney. Romney's is his own worst enemy. Romney appears with, you ready for this? He loses last time. Everyone wishes he had won. And who does he choose to appear with last week? Ryan. Bingo, again, the losing team. What a quinilla that is. I mean, why doesn't he just pick a Secretary of State that no one likes as his running? Unbelievable to me. He couldn't pick a woman. He couldn't pick, as moderate as Condoleezza Rice is, and I know she's a New World Order Bushite, she's a black lady, she's educated, she's a woman, she'd be a wonderful vice president. It could have been a Romney-Rice ticket. Instead, they're going at Romney-Ryan again. Who was advising this guy? He's a nice man. I had dinner with him. He asked me, how's the veal in the city? How's the veal in this restaurant? Right out of The Godfather. It's so amazingly Christian to go to an Italian restaurant. They say, how's the veal? It's unbelievable to me. What do you expect me to say? Bad? I said, actually, the prosciutto is the best in the city. They have it hanging down in the prosciutto room on hooks. That was too much for him. I prefer packaged ham myself, to be honest with you. I mean, what's the deal with prosciutto, Parma ham? I think of the poor pig, the 500-pound pig being killed. I can't even eat ham anymore. I don't know what that's about. As I get older, I get like I'm thinking of the dead animal now. I don't want it in my guts. For years, I had this with lamb. I couldn't eat lamb chops. I'd be up all night hearing the bah, bah. So I don't eat meat at night at all because I can't sleep. The animal is alive and well inside of me. Speaking of animals, I wanted to read this to you. There's a guy you never heard of called Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd is a guy who was a college dropout whose wife runs a direct mail firm for the most radical leftist progressive groups in the country. So he was picked by NBC to be the inheritor of Meet the Pressed. You know the show Meet the Pressed? I named it that. Others copied it. And I don't mind that he was picked to run Meet the Press. I'm not jealous. I could never do that job. I don't need the job. I don't want the job. No one asked me for the job. But if they asked me to take the job, I wouldn't take the job because it's not me. The fact of the matter is, he's a college dropout. And you say, oh, well, so what? Well, do you think that's a qualification to be on Meet the Press? Don't you think they ought to get someone who went to college? Someone with a little political background? You don't want to talk about it. I could see already I'm in for a tough slog. I feel like I'm swimming in mud right now. So I was going to do the Chuck Todd story. I'm bored of it. Someone called him an escaped slave. And, you know, he's going to ask Obama. The first interview he's getting is with Obama. Can you believe this? Don't you see that when I did the speech, Beware the Government Media Complex, in 1998, how smart I was, how ahead of the curve I was, that's when the Commonwealth Club still permitted a conservative to speak. And I gave the speech, which was Beware the Government Media Complex. So here you got a guy, a college dropout, who really is a nobody, Chuck Todd. They pick him to be the moderator of Meet the Press. That used to be run by that guy, the garbage man's son. What was his name? I kind of liked him with the funny nose. Does anyone remember who I'm talking? Can someone help me out there? I feel I'm groping today. Who was the guy on Meet the Press? Does anyone remember? Tim Russert. Tim Rustert. Another nice schmendrick. He was like the guy that, with the car collection at night, Jay Leno. Tim Russert looked like Jay Leno. There's a certain type. It's a stereotype. It's along the lines of the Hey Abbott, Lou Costello look. Kind of the doughboy look that everyone likes. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But, okay, this is an important show. It's a political show, Meet the Press. And his first interview is with Barack Obama. Can you imagine the softball questions that he's going to ask on his first interview? Which leads me to the show topic of the day and the question I wanted to ask you. What questions would you ask President Obama on his first Meet the Press broadcast? Let's say you're the producer and it's an honest show, which it isn't. What are the questions you would ask him? And I don't know what they might be. 855-407-282. And here's the second question. So the first question of the day for you is, what questions would you ask the President of the United States if you were Chuck Todd on Meet the Press? That's A. Here's the second question. As you know, talk radio is changing in front of your eyes. There's huge changes coming in this business that I can't tell you about, but you'll hear them as they come along. Right here on the San Francisco's KSFO, where I'm home-based, where I started, by the way, radio in here, 1994. I actually started on KGO, incidentally. But I set such new records in this liberal city that they put me on KSFO, my own show. I had huge shares, 6-7 shares in the early days, because no one had ever heard a conservative like me. There were no conservatives in radio at the time other than Rush. Now, here we go. You're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. I don't know if you read the trades. I'm on a local station here. They've just shifted gears. It came out in the trades today. My lead-in is going to be Rush Limbaugh at the end of this month, which is great in a way, because I don't know the man. He doesn't know me. And it's a shame that we haven't all gotten together and drawn our wagons in a circle, to be honest with you. We are at war. We are at war. We're trying to save the Western world. And for us to continue to compete with each other is a darn shame. But that's really not the point of my story. Even on this station, on KSFO, it's going to be Rush in the morning, and then Michael Savage. And I don't know who follows me. I forget. Somebody. And then my competitor, SH, is going to be on. And then after SH, it's going to be the none other than Glenn Beck at midnight, 9 o'clock. I mean, Glenn Beck has become such a buffoon. He's a parody of himself. I don't understand it. I shouldn't even talk about it. Good luck to him, but I don't understand what this guy thinks. But it's going to be an all-conservative station, which is a big deal. But having said that, here's where I'm leading up to. Stay with me. Follow me. Follow the bouncing mic. Here's where I'm going. My show is a little different than others. It's more conversational. It's a little less political. I mean, I could do women's dresses like I did yesterday and enjoy it. And the women liked that when I was very catty, bashing the gowns at the out-of-town San Francisco charity auction of San Francisco Symphony. I've never seen anything like it. Once there was a dress collection in the Museum of Art here. I did a whole show on that. Women loved it. They said, how do you know that much about, like, women's dresses? I said, I don't know. Just it's couture. I don't know why. I find it interesting to look at that stuff. As I said, a wife beater shirt would be more interesting to me. A T-shirt from Kresge's. A five and dime would have looked better than most of the Oscar de la Renta dresses that I saw. Which leads me to Joan Rivers. I mean, I'm sorry she died, but, you know, everyone, you know, after many a summer dies the swan. She was 82. She had a good life. What do you want me to do, cry over it? I wasn't a Joan Rivers fan. I thought she was nasty, frankly. And I don't know. Why should I eulogize her? It's all over the news now. I'm saying I'm sorry she died. Okay. May she go to heaven. That's all. But she better remember my mother got there first, not try to push her way ahead of her. That's all I can say. Because when I get there, I'll make her pay for it. But the thing is, all right, so that's a story. But she was 82. She went in for an endoscopy. And they gave, you know, heart failed. And that was the end. Who would go to an endoscopy clinic in Manhattan? I mean, it's like an outdoor, it was like a clinic outside a hospital. What a bunch of shysters run those things. Those are like, oh, I can't even say what I was going to say. It's guys I knew who couldn't get into regular medical schools. They're the ones who run endoscopy clinics outside hospitals. And like street-side clinics of any kind, they're like butt injection clinics. I mean, what do you expect to happen within an off-brand clinic like that? Oh, here's another piece of good news from the geniuses at the Centers for Disease Spread. Used to be the Centers for Disease Control. Under Obama, it's called the Centers for Disease Spread, the CDS. They're bringing another Ebola patient from Africa, this time to Nebraska. They're going to see if they can infect more people in the Midwest this time. Great move. No, don't treat him in Africa. Keep it isolated. No, bring it. Violate all the rules of epidemiology. Treat it here. 855-407-282. Let's see. I got questions already. They're coming in the tent. I got two questions. Two people came into the tent. It's a weird day this Friday. You know, people are still on vacation. I don't understand how this country runs. People take a Labor Day weekend and started like a Thursday ago. Now they'll take Thursday, Friday, then the whole week. How does a company run in this country? How do people take entire weeks off like this and expect the business to run? I don't know. I don't get it. I worked all week. I was off because I was away the week before, sort of a family trip. And I worked one day. Oh, I love broadcasting from WABC. I kind of miss New York City. I think I'm moving back part-time. I really mean it. It's kind of a different dynamic being up there on the 20th floor. I like the security. I have to pass as I went out for pizza before the show. Pizza fell on my black shoe. I like that. There was something so New York about an hour before the show. Here I don't go out before the show. If I do, it's a mall. All I see are people on medication walking around buying shopping bags. There's nothing in them but shopping bags. Bland, suburban white faces that you want to commit suicide looking at. If I have to go out one more time with the dog and have someone say, what kind of dog is that? Every day is the same thing. What kind of dog is that? It's a poodle. Really? Yeah, it's a poodle. All right, so I'm a nice guy. Say poodle. I feel like carrying a little card. I just give it out. Say poodle. How come he has such long hair? I said, because that's what a poodle should look like before he's trimmed. He's an uncut poodle. Just, they get a little upset. I said, uncut poodle, they think I'm saying. But the thing is, New York, you go out, there's so many different races and so many different creeds. I don't know what a creed is, by the way. I know what a race is. I know what a religion is. I still don't know what a creed is. Does anyone listening to the show know why we were told we will not discriminate based on race, religion, or creed? What is a creed? What is a creed, like credo? I know the origins of the word credo, but what is a creed? I know a race. I know a religion. I know non-religion. I know atheism. I know altruism. I know vegetarianism, I know Zoroastrianism, but what is a creed? I'm ready to keep, I don't want any ads. I'm blowing off every ad. No, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, what is a heroin song? I mean, it's Mick Jagger. What do you think? He was singing the Star Spangled Banner underneath it all? It was a heroin song. My producer just informed me that a jumping jack flash is an heroin thing about injecting into your tear duct. I didn't know that. I was eating Knishes at that age. I mean, if I wanted to get a high, I ate a Knish and a corned beef sandwich at the same time. I got a fat high. I didn't think about injecting a heroin into a tear duct. You know, I was very lucky that I was raised by a mother who told me things were dirty. I'd be dead by now. But she told me certain sexual acts were, disgusting. She taught me sex was dirty. She was right. She lived to 88. Tell me she didn't know what she was talking about. But the fact is, I mean, the idea of putting a needle in my arm, I knew guys in my group who did. Same milieu, but they didn't have as good a mother or father. Their parents were a little off, but they were nice kids, don't get me wrong. It doesn't make them bad people just because they became junkies. Some of them were very nice. But the thing is, no, I mean, it's not the same thing.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yeah, I want to have a party with you.
This is America. This is the real America. No one left like this. They've been put into a Corcoran prison. Any guy like this is in Corcoran or Pelican Bay. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Here we are. I have a question for you because I'm in a weird Friday mood. And the news is so horrible of Muslims cutting off heads and the beheadings and Warpath and a dumb president maybe playing the other side. And John Kerry dumber than the dumb one talking about climate change. And Hillary Clinton dumber than the dumbest telling us the world's greatest threat is climate change. It's astounding. We're being led by the most... Okay, I'll stop. I say the most and already I'm on the wrong track. The statement itself was enough for you. What we need is like a Nicholas Clegg here in America who talks about multiculturalism being a disaster and how it's destroyed the country. And in order to take the country back, we have to turn the country back 40 years with regard to immigration. But I don't want to do politics per se. Here's where I'm going. Here's the question of the day that I really want to ask you. And this is for the part of the audience that gets that part of me. The business is changing so rapidly. Let me put it another. Originally, talk radio was not hyper politics. It was not originally all politics all the time. It was not. It was a more informative show. Remember yesterday, and more diverse. Versatile is the word I'm looking for. There was a more versatile format. So I said to you, there used to be a local host who would have a guy on photography for a segment, which he got because he got free film, I told you. That was the main reason he did it. The guy came in. I always would see in the studio, he'd get rolls of film laying around. That's where he had him. All right, you got a schnur job out of it that way. Or a restaurant owner to talk about how to make tortellini because he got a free meal. The guy with the shirt, he still does it. The same Hawaiian shirt. Any Italian meal he could grift, he had the guy on to talk about. Whatever, but it was interesting. If you had a chef on or this, it made talk radio more versatile. Now, I realize the country's in a horrible state. I understand all of that. And I certainly am not going to get rid of my political part of the show. I don't intend to. It just eats me alive. I mean, I'm drinking very heavily at night as a result of it. I'm at war. I consider myself on the front lines of this war, this culture war. And don't think it's not taking its toll on me. It really is. And I have to turn it off. I have to turn it off at night. Otherwise, I couldn't do this every day. Look how strong I am that I can get up every day and do this. I'm astounded by my own capacities. If I told you that, no, I can't go there. If I told you that I could do this every day, despite what I do at night, to calm down, you'd say it's impossible. It's humanly impossible. That you still haven't had any major surgery, you're not taking any medication. It's not possible. It's all true, though. So what do I owe it to? God, number one. Can't say genes because that's not true. Well, maybe in my case, the genes turned out good so far. Next day, the mic falls down, and I'm dead, and I'm in a wheelchair in front of a drape in a nursing home for the rest of my life, drooling on my... So you don't know what's coming tomorrow. I get it. That's why it's bad to tempt fate like this. But here's the question I'm raising for you. Originally, radio was more versatile. Then it became hyper-partisan. And now, when you turn it on, it's 100%, and maybe it should be, but, I mean, it's not that listenable, 100% anti-Obama, because he's such a horror house. 100% basically Republican talking points, which is demented to listen to that. And I can't do that. I never did. But I can do things that no one else in the business can do or would want to do. I could do poetry. I could do art. I could do science. I could do fashion. I could do food. I could do recipes, and I'm going to do it. I can do weird better than anybody in the business. So should I do more politics or more weird? I really mean that. And that's an important question to me because I'm going to probably do more weird. I'm not going to do it right now, but I like weird. Weird is interesting to me. It keeps me going. When I get off the air, if I've done weird on the show, and I'll tell you what I mean by weird, I feel energized. If, on the other hand, I get trapped like in a sand trap on a golf course all day long talking about the jihadists, talking about the incompetence in the government, I'm exhausted from it. I can't take it. It exhausts me. And I think it's exhausting the audience. That's what I'm getting at. Remember what this is. This is not... I'm not an arm of any party. Unlike some in the business who promote candidates, have them on, run their shows as though they're an arm of the Republican National Committee, this is not what talk radio really is. That's how I think, you know. So, more weird or more politics? 855-407-282. And I'm not going to do it now. I'll give you an example of weird, what I mean by weird, in case you don't follow what I'm saying. Let's say you're an average cab driver somewhere. You don't understand what I mean by that, even though you like my politics. Okay, I'm going through my journals from 1963 on. I'm up to 1967. I'm having them typed. I have about 270 typescript pages now from the first set of journals, 63 to 67. In that, it's a young man, when I was very young, trying to find my foothold in the world. I was a young teacher, I was a young social worker, but I always wanted more. And inside myself, I thought that there was something greater than that. And I kept referring to myself as somebody destined for something greater than that. And it's almost embarrassing to look back at it. Now, do you say I had faith in myself that I kept referring to that, or was I an egomaniac, or is it both? Doesn't matter to me. The journals are what the journals are. And that young man in his early 20s was constantly lamenting the fact that he couldn't get out of the starting gate in New York City. Born into a poor family, a little too dreamy for the world, didn't really want to make a lot of money. That was never my goal. I mean, God bless you if that's how you were driven. I wasn't. But I was driven in other directions. I always wanted something else for myself. And the thing is, I'm looking at the journals and I'm finding poetry in there that I think is good. But do I dare read it on the air? Would you like to hear it? I mean, they're pretty good. Some of them are good. Most poetry today is all political and it's garbage. It's written by subliterate morons to push the leftist agenda. And they call that poetry and give themselves Nobel Prizes and professorships. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. But, okay, that's an example. Or I could do science, or I could do medicine, or I could do food, or I could do cars. Like my car right now, my 1970 Jag, right? The car I bought last year. It's in the shop. So 3 weeks it's in the shop for one part, a starter relay switch, because I brought it in smoking 3 weeks ago. It's a Jaguar, hello. It shouldn't smoke. And the Jaguar smoked. It's like when I had my first Jaguar in 1959, I smoked English Ovals. And my hands were yellow from nicotine. I affected a British, the whole thing was affected Britishness. I think God punished me by banning me from Britain as a result of those Anglophilic days. But the thing is, Jaguars are always trouble, but they're gorgeous. So I finally bought an XK, a used one from a conniving con artist in Southern California. I should have known it was. But nevertheless, I bought the car, put in some money, rides nice. It's the kind of car you want to have in a garage and drink scotch looking at it. You really don't want to start it and drive it. But I started and drive, and I say, this went on 3 weeks ago. I started and drove it around the winding roads north of San Francisco. And I said, you know, I've had the car a year. It's not bad. Look at this. I put in a few grand. It looks beautiful. I'm getting a lot of pleasure. I knew what was coming. I swear to God. I was nice. And look at it. It's got independent rear suspension. It was one of the first cars with independent rear suspension. Those Brits were ahead of the other auto manufacturers. It handles great. It feels like a baby carriage and it makes a turn. The next thing, smoke starts coming up from the bottom. I swear to God, just as I'm saying, oh, nice car, I did well, smoke's coming up, and I'm choking on, like, okay, I get it over to a guy in a garage who is a very nice guy, I know him for many years. He says, smells electrical. So they find out eventually, after 2 weeks, that it's a starter relay switch. They get the switch in, and lo and behold, yesterday, after the show, they drive it back to my house for me, having tuned up the carburetors. They're convinced they cured it. They drive the car up, and all of a sudden, the smoke's pouring out of it again. I thought I had to call the fire department. I said, look. He said, no, it's just old oil burning off. I said, no, it is not. That's exactly what I brought the car in for. The smoke was coming out from the floorboards. So he goes under there. He says, oh, yeah, you're right, blah, blah, blah. So they take it back to the garage. The latest diagnosis is the transmission's leaking oil. So that's like another, I don't know what, waiting for the parts now again. It's what it is, a hobby car. It's not my daily driver. I'm thinking of buying a new car. That's why cars are on my mind. The car I own that I really like the best is the Mercedes S600, which I bought new in 2009. It's the best car I've ever owned in the world. It's known as a Mercedes Hot Rod. It's a V12 with the most phenomenal torque I've ever seen in any car. I'm talking an off the showroom floor car, and it has an S and a C, a sport and a comfort thing. It's two cars in one. It's like a schizo. If you want to coast along comfortably, that's that car. If you want to play with somebody or just get a little crazy on the road, you put it in S. It'll do 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds, which is awesome for a big, fat four-door car. And, you know, I love the car so much that I gave it a name. I named it, in two novels, I named it Wilhelm. Did you know that? He speaks German. Neil speaks German. He was raised on can I say, Neil, that you were raised on a military base and you speak German? You speak German because you were raised on a military base with the father in the military who you love so much. So, yeah, you love the father so much from the, yeah, your vol. So, yeah, so I named the car Wilhelm. And I wrote about Wilhelm in Abusive Power and A Time for War. Jack, my character, owns such a car. But now I want to sell it. I want to sell it because, I don't know, it's just like, there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm an American. I think I need a new car. I just feel I have to have a new car. Why do I have to have a new car? Because here's what I'm afraid of. If I keep the car any longer, I'm going to become one of those old guys with one of those old Mercedes that's in perfect condition, that you know he's a nut. You ever see those old guys driving the 75 Mercedes that's like doesn't have a scratch on it? And you know he's weird. You know something's wrong with that guy. I don't know. I can't explain it. I can't exactly put my finger on it. But I'm at that tipping point with the car where if I keep it any longer, I'm going to look like that guy. The old guy with the old Mercedes. So I don't know what to get. You want to hear something? This is funny. To me, I'm a car nut. And you figure, look, I earned it. Why shouldn't I buy it? I bought a Bentley for a day. Actually, I didn't buy it. I said I was going to buy it. I picked it. The Bentley dealer is a very nice guy. He trucked it out for me. Gorgeous. I mean, the colors, the interior. It was gorgeous, stunning. I drove it. I said, I can't take this car. I said, I'm sorry, I can't take the Bentley. He said, why? I said, it's too rough. The road vibrations come through the Bentley. I didn't want it. I like a soft ride. And he said, okay, I understand it. And then I read a review from England, one of the best reviews ever, on the Rolls-Royce, the Bentley, and the Mercedes S-Series. And they said that the Bentley is a sports sedan. It's exactly what I found it to be. It's a sports sedan. I don't like road feel. I don't understand why anyone will buy a sedan for road feel. Why do I want to feel potholes through the steering wheel and in my behind? What is it with the English and seats? I know someone who owns a Range Rover. I can't sit in the car. I feel like I'm in a merry-go-round and about to fall off the hobby horse. Every turn, I'm like tilting. And why do British not have the capacity to make a seat that's comfortable? What is that about the British? There's something, how shall I put it on a family show? There's something to do with that part of the body that they're very uptight about. The seats are so hard, it's incomprehensible. And the road vibration, they're into, like, you have to feel the vibration if you buy the car. I don't care what you spend. The only car that you don't feel it in is the Rolls-Royce, but I'm not going to buy a Rolls-Royce. That's over the top. I don't need it. Then already you look like a retired Garmin Center guy who knew Hillary Clinton and schmeared off Chuck Schumer. I don't want to be one of those guys. If I got a Rolls-Royce, I would look definitely like a corrupt Democrat, so I'm not getting a Rolls-Royce for sure. Who else would drive one? Don't they all look like shady, like, belt salesmen from the Garmin Center who got into politics and then wound up owning a rocket launching system that they sold to China? Now I got calls on the weird. Who wants weird? Oh, Jay in New Mexico on KKOB. Jay, go ahead, please.
Calling from Pietown, New Mexico. Michael, I don't know if you'd be weird enough, since you're debating weird, to help educate people about what we can do for this nation by using Article 5 of the Constitution.
Yeah, but that's going back to that Constitution business, and the radio is not. I can't do it because it's boring. We know what the Constitution is. We know that we have anti-constitutionalists running everything. And so talking about it, is that going to change anything, Jay?
It will if people understand that they can use the Constitution.
I can't. This is what I'm talking about. Just what I don't want to do. I don't want to do it. That's all. Okay. I know how important it is. I get it. But I'm not going to sit here and worship Ronald Reagan. Okay.
Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says.
I love Fredo.
I'm dumb. I'm smart. And I want respect.
Sorry. Why do I love that soundbite? He died young. It's sad. He died in his 40s. Shortly after, not the Godfather, that actor. What was his name? I forget his name. But he died after... that movie, The Vietnam Veterans, that was actually almost a better movie. They were all in the same, all the guys in the same movie. Robert De Niro, him, Cassavetes or something, whatever. It's not Cassavetes. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. What would you like to talk about? I have the questions that you want Tim Russert's replacement, the garbage man's replacement up Chuck Todd, to ask of Obama. And I'll read those in a minute right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. You know, I didn't get to the great speech I gave aboard the yacht last week on the Hudson River. I was going to do it. Maybe I'll do it in the next hour. What would you put in the Obama library if you were advising the president? That was a great topic from this week, and I think we should continue to do that. But the real question I'm asking you is this one, the formula of my show. I mean, I'm going to do politics because it's in my blood. We're in trouble. We're at war. Not only are we at war against the socialist communists, anarchists in this country, but the Islamists everywhere. So, yeah, it's a big job. But remember, this is an educational, informational medium. Radio is an informational, educational medium. And I got to tell you something else. AM radio was originally all entertainment. And then somehow along the line, it became very partisan, and it's gotten very narrow. It can be made much broader again, and bring in more people to my political point of view if I do what I can do best, and no one could do it but me, which is to make it more versatile, by the way. Poetry, science, art, food, medicine, clothing, laundry, dogs, cats, cars, tears, tear ducts, you name it. I'll be back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This guy is the best advertisement for not leading a clean life. The whole world is stoned anyway. No, it's not true. Not everyone uses substances. Oh, he's so good. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Grandfather, drug abuser, sex mate. I mean, how does he... So anyway, so here's it's Rock and Roll Friday, and I was asking a couple of questions on the program today that are not political, which is... I'm not asking you how to change my show, but I can do less politics and more weird, which I'm going to do over the next months and years. Yeah, look, I got the big book coming out, Stop the Coming Civil War, and it went to number one on the Barnes & Noble list, thanks to listeners like you. And when it does come out, I'm hoping it does hit number one. Not so I buy a Rolls Royce. That's not what the point is. I want it out there so that people see what's coming and how to stop it. And I hope you'll be part of that, okay? And I will be political. But in the midst of it, I've got to take a break. I've got to go in other directions, and that's what I intend to do. So I want to ask you, what would you like me to do, more politics or less politics? Let's start with Larry on WABC. Larry, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Your answer, please.
Michael, God bless you. I mean, your success is based on your humor, your formula. And the politics, when necessary, you tear right into with the truths that you know them to be. And I appreciate that. The topic of the day, if it's extremely, you know, political, well, then go with that. But
that's right. If a plane crashes and it's an Islamist job, of course I'm going to talk about it.
Pastrami, go right on, because your humor breaks things up, because you're absolutely right. The talk of the politics and the destruction of our nation is exhausting. It really
is. That's what I'm saying. We know what's going on. We know Obama's playing for the other team, or may as well be. We know he's fine-tuning his message every day. One day he doesn't have a message about ISIL. The next day he's going to manage them, and now he's going to defeat them. Every day he's changing his tune.
And calling your car Wilhelm reminds me of Bill DiCamio, the current mayor of New York City. His name was Warren Wilhelm, and he changed it to Bill de Blasio. Sounds like Barack Hussein Obama, whose real name was...
Yeah, why did de Blasio change his original name to de Blasio? I don't get that.
Well, he claims that it was because his father was absent, never around, then he died, and his mother took care of him.
Well, it worked for him. I mean, it worked for him. He became mayor without any competency. I get that. Well, okay, so your answer, thank you very much for calling the Savage Nation. Let me give you an example of weird. This is not weird, what I'm going to read to you, nor is it boring, but it's interesting. I want to show you something. So this is a book from 1967, My Journals. One page, just bear with me, St. Louis, Missouri. I was a traveling salesman, you don't know this, for a publishing company at that time in my early days after I was a teacher. So this is from March 9th, 1967, St. Louis, Missouri. Conversation in Belleville filling station with two brothers in business 30 years at same location, just informed by central office that they're about to lose their franchise. Shell Oil Company, one of America's giant corporations, sends them a note that says that they have to change their operation to the two brothers. And the brothers say to me, a perfect stranger and a Yankee at that, passing through town, and I'm at the filling station, I have a thing where I can talk to people wherever I am. Even in foreign languages, people confide in me. They said to me, why, we're just numbers to him. Do you know I've been here right in the same station for 30 years? My brother Walt over here has been with me since 47. One of them young fellas from Chicago with a business degree comes in and tells us to get all that garbage off the shelves and put out our chemicals. The candy brings us in some change. There's a school right back there. Who's going to buy their chemicals? I tell you, we're just numbers to him. As I was leaving the station of these two brothers, I turned and reassured them that they were right about us just being numbers on a punch card. I said, America's over centralizing. Soon we're going to wear a tag with our social security number on it. No name needed. This afternoon, I turned off the highway onto a dirt road, hoping to catch some sleep. Car became thoroughly stuck in the mud. I ran back to the main road and watched a car make a U-turn before seeing me. I explained my plight. The man offered to drive me to a filling station and get a tow truck. About 1 minute down the road, he decided to turn around and try it himself. And so down into the mud, he connected a chain to my car and jerked it right out of the mud onto the hard surface. He doesn't smoke. He's a Christian man. Doesn't believe it's healthy. Refused my offer of money. He said, after all, I might get stuck in the mud myself next Wednesday, he said. So I wrote in my journal, does God provide for one's needs? You hear this one? I mean, this is an interesting little life story. It's not that dramatic. It's not life and death. But it's a young man, me as a young man, just going through life. I was a traveling salesman at that time. And a little minor anecdote. And I was touched by a Christian man who was the Good Samaritan. And I wrote it down in my journal. And that's what I'm talking about. What's wrong with reading stuff like this once in a while? Detroit, WJR. Annette, welcome to the Savage Nation.
You're the kind of friend that you wish you would have had growing up.
I wish I had me as a friend when I was growing up. I didn't.
You know, it's enlightening. You're like a breath of fresh air here. You ignite your passions within us, and it's like, hey, yeah, I used to think about that. It's almost like we've been on autopilot, and you come along and say, yeah, this is what I thought in my 20s, and you know what? This is what I thought in my 20s, and I should be thinking about those kinds of things.
Okay, so in other words, for me to read back some of my young man thoughts makes you think what you thought when you were young.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, that's right. So, you know, this goes back to the issue of, you know, being young at heart your whole life, and then you're ageless in that sense.
Weird. And that's not so weird. You also... promote, be yourself. Don't let anybody else think for you. Use your brain, and especially now, think things through. Look at the big picture. And we need more people to hear this. I mean,
okay, so if I'm encouraging you to think for yourself, people will come to the right conclusions politically. But I don't have to give them the conclusions. I just have to lead them back to their minds.
And I don't even mean politically. You know, just like you gave, you know, it was a man helping you, and he was a Christian, and you're not, and whatever, but it was how you interpreted that. And that's what we should be doing. We should be interpreting all this stuff around us that we are so busy sitting, playing.
Right. That was the point. It was a simple act being pulled out of a ditch. The man turns out to be a Christian non-smoker, and he did it because he was a good man, and he believed in karma. He believed in fate. So there's a lesson in that. And there's a lesson to be learned from that. And it's a lesson that I wrote down in 1967. Think about how long ago that was.
Please, I was your age at that time. I don't want to go that far back. But I do have to say, you are new to our area. You're new to me. I've loved every minute of it. I am on the wait list at Barnes & Noble for your book, and I can't wait.
You're on the wait list for Stop the Coming Civil War. God bless you for being one of the soldiers of the Savage Nation, and thank you for the kind words. 855-400-7282. Let's take some more callers here. I got really good callers now because I went into the weird side. Jeff on WMAL in Washington, D.C. Jeff, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I definitely like a little bit of weird mixed in with your show. It breaks up the monotony because some of the shows, it sounds like automation almost, no personality, no nothing, and it really beats you down. A little bit about my background is, you know, I deal with PTSD. I'm a combat veteran, and especially some of the events, if you let it consume you with no personality or nothing to break it up, it can really...
Yeah, in other words, the events going on in the world are so overwhelming that if you listen to it, you're going to get sick from it. I think that's what you're saying, aren't you?
Yes, sir, but to go a little bit further, I do like when you address things, you put a little bit of soul and personality and conviction with it. I don't like when people talk about Islamic extremists half-handedly, you know. I'm not going to mention names, but Wallbanger and some of them, you know, this and that. You make me feel normal. I realize I have PTSD, but there's nothing wrong with being madder than hell when you need...
Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with being angry as hell, but I have to back it off or I'll get a stroke.
Right, and then I find it different since I've been back in normal society. You know, I can't, you got like thought police and all, you can't say, you know, what really occurred over my combat tours or what was it really like or, hey, what is radical Islam? If you start talking about it, everyone's like biting their lip.
They don't want to hear, in other words, what you actually saw over there.
Right, and I fear my own country. If it happens in the backyard, I'm not sure if people even be willing to defend themselves because they might be labeled or have Eric Holder or someone come to their door over a hate crime because some...
Well, he can go to hell if he thinks that he's going to control people from defending themselves against a machete-wielding Islamist. I mean, that's not happening, believe me. We're not England yet where they defined it as a non-hate crime. A poor 82-year-old woman outside her house is gardening in a... An African Muslim, a recent convert, cuts her head off with a machete, and the English don't even call it a hate crime? You talk about a nation that sank into the swamp.
It's no intestinal fortitude, and it's a damn shame, because, I mean...
Listen to this. Now we're talking about one of the most horrible stories of the day. It's getting both of us upset, right? And that's exactly what I don't want to do on a daily basis. You get it?
Right. Absolutely. It's
all right. Well, I hear you, though. I hear you. But we both did it because that's what's eating us alive. At the end of the day, that's what's eating us up, which is the new crusade that the Islamists are investing in. You know, that story is so horrible of a woman, 82, a retired cafe owner, an Italian woman. She's gardening in England. Out of nowhere comes this Muslim convert, a black man, young, about 25 to 30, wearing all black, black T-shirt and jeans, 5'10", very well built. And he's rampaging through back gardens with a large curved blade that has been described as a machete. And he cuts her head off. The police says, based on what we know, we do not believe this was a terror-related incident. I guess it was a love-related incident in England. So somebody wrote this. They said, political correctness in Britain is on a bandwagon. You either join it by sacrificing your common sense and shaming British culture, values, and history at every chance, or you let the wagon pass by and get attacked from it for the rest of your life. Even one subtle, nuanced criticism of Islam overheard in an office lunchroom conversation can completely destroy your career. At minimum, you can expect to receive, quote, tolerance training and to be routinely overlooked for any future promotion opportunities. That overheard comment has most likely also fallen afoul of the broad, expansive British hate speech laws, for which case you can be arrested, charged, and face criminal courts with imprisonment, a sentencing outcome. Challenging Islam's appropriateness in British society or Western values can ruin careers, child visitation rights, result in social exclusion, etc. And then the person writes, but you do raise some questions that have also vexed me. And here's the, listen to this. How did this nation of Brits, who once dominated all of Europe, controlled the high seas, unopposed and colonized distant lands, mutate into the sniveling, politically correct, neutered society of modern Britain? Even more so with Sweden, where many native Swedish males loudly advocate for and applaud their own disempowerment, which is seeded away to radical far-left, multicultural and feminist agendas. Vikings, they are not. Those words resonate with me so strongly, it's hard for me to tell you how strongly they resonate with me. I have been singing that tune for 20 years. I've written it in comedic terms, such as only the barbs and our berries can save us. I've done it in syllogisms. I've done it in poetry. I've done it in song. I've done it in political anger. I've done it every way which I can. And guess what? It's getting worse. It's not getting better. It's not getting better. And that's why I keep writing books. It's why I get up on the radio show. They are at war with us. Yes, it's them and us. And yes, it's live or be killed. It's that simple. They are in a new crusade. And let nobody tell you there's not a crusade going on. That's exactly what this group in the Middle East is conducting. A new crusade against Christianity. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Where Savage rules every day for 3 hours. I'm going through a withdrawal in advance. I have fear of the weekend. It's a black hole, 72 hours of no radio. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Greg on WMAL, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mr. Savage. First time caller here, and I would just like to say, keep doing the weirdness. Weirdness spurs an emotion in people that it's an emotion we're not used to. Every day, the monotony of work, every single day. I'm a naval officer, the military conformity. You're such a breath of fresh air coming home. I'm a weirdo at heart. And just
we all are. That's the thing. Underneath that rigidity is a human being who's dying to be weird. But, Greg, when you define me as a, you say you're a new listener on MAL in Washington, naval officer, et cetera, what do you think is, what part of my show is weird to you? Tell me the weirdness.
Well, I just think you're weird. The weirdness is such a fresh breath of fresh air. The weirdness is, you're not a political pundit. I thought it was so great when you said, I wouldn't want to, spend a half an hour, gloating over, Reagan.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Right. Or talking about the Constitution. I can't do that.
Yeah. It's refreshing that you're not a pundit. You're not trying to say the typical lines. You're just, you know, you're emotional.
All right, so what you're saying is you just like me as a guy hanging out with me on the radio. Wherever my head goes, it's like having a beer with a friend in a bar, right?
Yeah, that's true. But Weird's also good because Witness has spurred some of the best, you know, creative minds on.
Well, that's where I'm coming from. I'm definitely in that category. Thank you for tuning in. 10 things you didn't know about the Mercedes-Benz 600 just sent to me by a listener. This you're not going to believe. This you're not going to believe. We're talking about the big one. It was purchased by a bunch of dictatorial sociopaths who didn't mind killing other people and Jack Nicholson. But this is not the 600 I have. This is a story about the big 600 limousine. We're talking about that one. Same engines, though.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
What are we playing? Oh, I love this song, Sympathy for the Devil. I like it, but it's too slow, the build-up. It doesn't match this the tempo of a drive-time show. Especially with the bongo, the conga drill. I get to it already.
Please allow me to introduce
myself. I don't care about it. I don't want to hear it. Reminds me of eating too much pizza and drinking too much beer in those days. No. You know, one thing I want to say, I'm looking back at my journals as an older man, my 20-year-old self, and if I had one regret, and I do, I never would have smoked marijuana, and I'll tell you why. Marijuana is a very, very, very deceptive drug. I can tell you just looking at my journals what happens to me when I smoke marijuana. I go from a beautiful script in the handwritten script. I'm a very fine writer in my cursive writing. All of a sudden, my writing is loose, makes no sense, stupid drawings, idiocy, self-doubt, confusion. And this is when marijuana was about 50 times weaker than it is today. Just garbage, pure garbage. None of it was worth a damn. And it was only when I was straight that my writing was made any sense at all. This has no sense to it. You know, you could see just here in my own journals what it did to me. Horrible. And it's a good thing I stopped up, I don't know how many years ago, but, you know, 30, 40 years ago, I stopped smoking marijuana. It's poison. If I could tell anyone listening to the show, you're being duped, you're being deceived, you have no idea it's government mind control. You may, oh, wow, yeah, it's medical. Okay, great. You can believe anything you want. It's a poison like you can't believe. It's so poisonous that the city of Berkeley is now mandating free medical marijuana for low-income residents. That's right. Berkeley City Council in California has unanimously approved ordering medical marijuana dispensaries to donate 2% of their stash to patients making less than $32,000 a year. But listen to what Bishop Ron Allen, a former addict and head of the International Faith-Based Coalition, told Fox News. He doesn't understand why the California city would want to dump pot on the impoverished. He says, it's ludicrous, over-the-top madness. Why would Berkeley City Council want to keep their poverty-stricken, underserved, high in poverty and lethargic? You hear this? He says, instead of taking... then John Lovell, a lobbyist for the California Narcotics Officers Association, says, instead of taking steps to help the most economically vulnerable residents get out of that state, the city has said, let's just get everybody high. I'm trying to tell you, in my own life, I don't have many regrets in my life. I honestly don't. It's been a meandering course over many years. One thing after another led me to radio 20 years ago, and I've never stopped since. But a couple of mistakes I made, and one of them was marijuana in my early years. It was a horror. It just, you could see it in my journals. And if a library and I eventually come to terms and the journals wind up in the library and you go and be able to turn the pages or however they set it up digitally, you'll see the pages that were written high are garbage. They're dreck. Just garbage. Just, there's nothing there. So that's all I want to say on that. That's all. Now I want to do something very interesting for you. You can call the show on any request that you have today on this Rock and Roll Friday by dialing 855-407-282. But I want to go back to the week that just passed. I was on vacation in New York, as you know, and I had a small party for about 30 people aboard a boat moored at the Hudson River. And the folks from my radio business came. My publisher came from Hachette. It was sort of a pre-publication party in some ways for Stop the Coming Civil War. And the radio folks were there. I met the advertising people and some others. And then I had a few family and a couple of friends and my agent. And I gave a very small, off-the-cuff speech looking at Ellis Island, which was only about a mile and a half down the Hudson River. And I reflected on the fact, well, I want you to listen to the speech. This is pulling back the curtain on An Immigrant Son. Listen.
Is there anyone down below who should be up here that we can browbeat for a few minutes? 100 years ago, my grandfather arrived at Ellis Island in steerage. Many of you have a similar story. Maybe it was more than 100 years ago for you. I'm a first-generation American, so I have one foot in the old world and one foot in the new world. So when I talk about immigration, I sort of know what I'm talking about. So last night, we went to dinner in Shunley with my agent, Ian. Come back, didn't say a word in the cab. Getting out, I'm paying the guy or whatever. He says, are you Michael Savage? He was a Haitian immigrant. You Michael Savage? I said, yes. Now, I didn't know whether he'd hate me or love me, right? Haitian, black guy. He said, I love you, man. He said, I'm like your grandfather. I'd rather have my arm cut off than take welfare. See, people don't understand how diversity really is. They assume that it's fractured in this country, that blacks think one way, Hispanics think another way, whites think another way. But we have all these divisions within the segmentation of people. So this is the land of opportunity. Great-grandfather of my son, Russ, my grandfather, Sam, I call the astronaut of my family. It was as though he went to the moon. Look where he came. Didn't speak a word of English. Came here 7 years ahead of the family. Blah, blah, blah. Earned money as a little tailor. Sent it home. Brought my grandmother. Brought my father. And died at a very young age. 47. Heart attack. You know, that's how they worked so hard. Whatever. Now, then my father died at 57. Never really made it big in the country. Had a little store, 12 blocks from here on Ludlow Street, an antique store. And I wrote about it in Train Tracks. It was all in, owns this yacht. And I'm not here to boast, I'm just here to say it's the American dream. We have lived the American dream through extreme hard work. People don't know, he works 24-7. My wife works 24-7. I shouldn't say it. Companies don't run themselves, as you know, whether it's Westwood One, John and Lou Dickey, Hachette, someone's running those companies. If salesmen aren't producing, they're fired, right? I heard silence go through the room. I mean, if my son ran Westwood, one half of you wouldn't be here, for example.
I'll be the bad guy tonight.
Well, he just fired half his staff in New York today. But anyway, the point is, we're living the dream. But what my grandfather fled and his great-grandfather fled was communism, Bolshevism, revolution. What do we have in America today? We have $27 million apartments on Jane Street. I took a bicycle ride today. I saw a building. It was a former nursing home, the painter told me. Red brick building looked like a school. So I said, how much do these cost? Are they condos? He said, no, man, they're for billionaires. How much are they? He said, $25 million for these two floors, and they're putting $5 million into it. I said, what? He said, yes, that's what they're putting into this building. This is what's going on. We have two societies, right? Three, maybe? High, low. God knows where the middle class is going to end up. But we have people who would like to stop that. We have people who would like to end it. We have people who like to take it away, turn the city back, turn the country back. And the answer is somewhere in the middle, isn't it? Isn't it somewhere in the middle where everyone can dip their beaks, as the Godfather said? Everyone can feed a little bit in our country. But we don't want Bolshevism. We don't want communism, do we? But we have the same forces that operated in Russia are now operating in the West. And that's what we have to be cognizant of. And that's what my show is about. It's not the extreme element of screw the poor, let them eat cake, let them eat peanuts. The issue is don't take from those who have worked so hard. Don't steal it from them, because without them there'd be nothing. We'd have one salami in a butcher store like they had in the Soviet Union. Remember what Russia was like when you were a kid? Many of you are over 50. Remember the images of the Soviet Union? People lining up around the block, one salami in the butcher store. Why? Why would the butcher invest in a piece of meat? Why would the farmer raise the cows if he couldn't sell it and make a profit? People don't even understand what the profit motive is. It's not all evil. It's become a dirty word, right? Hasn't capitalism become a dirty word? Is it a dirty word? The whole world runs on that. So what I'm saying is, thank God we have a capitalist system. It's not evil. It's good. And I'm glad we're here. I'm not going to get to the gecko thing of greed is good. I'm not going. I didn't go there. All I said was capitalism is good, investment is good, business is good, sales are very good. Ratings are even better. And I want to thank you all for taking time out on a sweaty August day. It was a last-minute thing. My son's boat was in Fort Lauderdale, and I conclude with this. And we're supposed to go on a father and son vacation. We've never done it. We're both afraid of each other. We're both too hard-headed to spend any time in a tent. Hunting moose. Fishing. We don't like killing things. We like eating them, but not killing. So we were going to go to Alaska, then we were going to go to Canada. Then we said, what the hell are we going to do in Alaska? Well, you can look at the hookers without teeth in the bar. What the hell? Well, what are we going to do in Canada? Well, there's always the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. I mean, I don't know. So he said, Dad, let me send the boat up to New York. I said, okay, that was last week. I said, okay, if you do, I'll invite my friends from Radio Cumulus, publishers Kate Hachette, and a few other people. And here you are, and you came on the last minute. It's a hot night. I'm sure you'd rather be getting ready for your Labor Day weekend. I want to thank you all for coming to join us here, and may we all enjoy the success that we deserve. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, see, that was an impromptu speech based upon one thought. The thought was grandfather 100 years ago and, you know, being there. And I conclude with, may you all enjoy the success you deserve. But one of the best lines in that speech to me, listening to it today, is how diverse diversity is. I think that that's a very critical jumping off point for a discussion. Many of us think that when you hear the word diversity, it means the races all think in one way against the others. That's what the social manipulators would like you to believe, that it's you versus them. You should understand that diversity is quite diverse and that there's no locked in set of beliefs amongst any particular race or religion. Eric Holder should know that, and he's an educated man, but he uses the methods that have been known to demagogues from the beginning of time. Divide and conquer. This is how he and Obama have gotten where they are, and they're never going to change. They've used demagoguery. They've used racial enmity. They've used divide and conquer to get where they are, and it's going to get a lot worse before it gets a lot better. That's all I can say. Now let's take some calls right here on the Savage Nation, WJR Michigan. Elaine, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I want you to do weird, but I want you to do big weird, over-the-top weird, because we all know what you can do, and you've proven what you can do, and you're educated, and you've taught us how to think. But your quotient for weird, I really don't know, and I would love to know more about it, because I find you extremely entertaining and intelligent, but I really like it when you're crabby. So if you're crabby and weird, I think that you're going to take us to another whole realm.
No, I tend not to hide my emotions too much on this show. The truth is, if I wake up not feeling good, I have to either go with it or I can't go on the air. I can't fake it. I can't just do it. And now, welcome, you know, do a radio show, per se. A radio performance of this type that's gone on for 20 years has to reflect the individual, the personality, in order for an audience to be interested in it at all, right? And so if I'm in a good mood, fine, you'll hear it, as I was Monday. Sometimes during the week, my mood dragged. Yesterday, I was very tired all of a sudden. By the third hour, I was dragging. And I let the people know that. I just got very tired. I think that's what you want to hear. It's like knowing somebody. Isn't that what you're saying?
It is, but it's knowing the it's learning the unknown, too. Because
So you want to hear the dark side of Michael Savage is what you really want.
No, you're assuming what I want. I want to hear what you... I think you tell us what you really want to tell us, but I want to hear it like almost without the filter. I'm not talking about, you know, having to worry about what you're saying or dropping a letter or a word that you shouldn't be using. I want to know what it's like really without the filter, because I think you need to hit the pressure release valve. And
but you're getting at something, and I don't know what it is you're getting at. What is it you want me to say that you haven't heard?
Well, I want you to be you, because I think that it seems like you've got a lot of rough edges, but not really. I bet that you could cry at night because you're so upset about things. So do the poetry. Educate the people. We have all these tons of what we say, low information voters. Educate us. Give us a new culture. Show us what it is. You're very educated. But take us down another lane. Because an education isn't what everything, I'm a teacher, it's not everything that you learn in the classroom. It's everything you've learned about life that you can share.
So, yeah, well, that's absolutely true. Well, that's why today I went back to a journal of mine from 67. Think how long ago that was. And I talked about my car going off the road in mud and a good Samaritan, a Christian, pulling me out of the side and wouldn't even take money from me. I mean, that was a real story, wasn't it?
It is. But the reason why you didn't like what you wrote when you were, I like I'm talking to you like I really know you, but the reason why I don't think you like what you wrote as you reread, as you read again what you wrote when you were high, is because your writing isn't tight then. And a good writer is a tight writer. You can meander down a road, but you have to have that point, that beginning, the middle, and the end.
No. I was making another point. I was saying that looking at my journals, my handwriting itself becomes almost illegible when I was smoking marijuana. I would start making stupid drawings. I would write statements that made no sense. I would doubt myself. And that's when marijuana was, what, 50 times weaker than it is today? It's a devastatingly damaging drug. And that's a very big lesson that I could help the young people with. They think that their insights when they're high are brilliant, but they're not brilliant. It's garbage. And looking back when they're older, they'll find out it was a waste of time and took them down the wrong road.
Well, I don't know if you have hair, but does it look curlier hair, or if it's straight, or if not, or whatever, or grow hair? One of my students said to me, you know, the reason, it's, what's the big deal about getting high? I said, you're going to have another impaired driver on the road. We text and drive. We do all sorts of things.
Right. Well, that's right. Impaired driving, impaired writing, impaired thinking, impaired everything. I don't understand how they're getting away with pushing this dangerous drug down everyone's throat. They're making it sound like it's healthful. Nothing can be farther from the truth. Thank you for the call, Elaine. I promise to be weirder. It's 49 minutes after the hour. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. What we need is a Patton in the White House, not this clown. We have men who were once children, who were brainwashed by Muslim fanatics into becoming black hooded executioners, able to pick up a knife and cut the neck of a man kneeling at their feet in the name of their religion. And opposite that, we have a band of merry pranksters out to transform America into a state of weakness that can never defend itself. That's the problem, and that's why I have to keep doing weird. You understand what I'm saying? It can't be one thing or the other. It has to be all things together. Thanks for listening. I'll be back for another big hour across America right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Turn that off. That's horrendous. Who picked that song? Welcome to the Savage Nation. God, we better discuss songs before we play them. My goodness. Here we go into hour number three on the program. And the news headlines are so horrible, I'm afraid to read them to you. But what the heck? I'm that kind of guy. And then we'll go into more about weirdness, meaning what do I mean by it? Do you want more weirdness, less weirdness on the show? I'm going to give you more whether you want it or not. And weirdness is not a really weird word. What does weirdness really mean? You don't have to make a fool of yourself to go weird. All you got to do is stop talking about, let us say, the very same topics that you hear all day long. I said in my speech on the yacht how diverse diversity is. Well, I think we need more diversity in talk radio. And that means even on the conservative side of the aisle. We need more versatility in talk radio, and that's what I intend to deliver to you. So if you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-407-282. 855-407-282. Let's take some of the callers who have been waiting so long. Jim in Kentucky on VLK Radio. Jim, go ahead, please. You're up in the air. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Dr. Savage, don't be put in a box and be just one thing. You're a creative person, so you need to be all things. You can't just do one thing. And
That's what I was trying to say. I mean, if I get up and I see, like I did yesterday, the ugly gowns that the women in the symphony were wearing here in San Francisco. I mean, I had to do that show because I could not believe women can't see how grotesque they look in those outfits.
And the museum for Obama, they need to put that famous chair line that Clint Eastwood said, the empty chair, just have that one thing in this museum.
Yeah, that would be a great, in the rotunda, just an empty chair. We don't need anything else. We don't even need a purple dress. That's a question. That's a pregnant question, by the way. One thing about Bill Clinton, he may have been a roguish dirtbag, but at least we knew what he liked. You know, I'll leave that pregnant statement out there. And I thank you. By the way, you're a winner today. You're the gold prize winner today of a new copy of the Stop the Coming Civil War, my bestseller, soon-to-be best-selling book. Stay in the line. We'll take your address and get one out to you. KSFO in San Francisco. Brian, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I totally agree with you. You know, at the end of the night, I have to get home. I sit down with a glass of scotch, and whatever my mind takes me, I have to research, study, think about other things other than what's going on in the world. And especially, you know, more than most, here in San Francisco, it's not the easiest to be a conservative.
It's not easy to be a human being who's rational. Forget about conservative. You have irrational fools running everything.
Yeah, you're exactly right with that. I'm 32 years old. I'm a business owner. I opened up my first business when I was 23. And I'll admit, I voted for Obama the first time. But when I really started investing my money in various forms of investments around, I wanted to start researching where my money was going and how it was being affected and why taxes were being increased. And the more.
So what, you want me to do more? You want me to do more fiscal things?
Well, yeah, if you wanted to, that would be fantastic, but what...
All right, hold it. Here's a fiscal thing. Thanks for a suggestion. Here we go. Salary of retired U.S. presidents, $180,000 for life. Salary of House Senate members, $174,000 for life. Salary of Speaker of the House, $223,000 for life. Salary of majority-minority leaders, $193,000 for life. Average salary of a teacher, $40,000 a year. Average salary of a deployed soldier, $38,000 a year. So we're going into this discussion. Do you think we need some reform in Congress? I think we do. I think that we need to stop the salaries for life for presidents, House and Senate members. They all make fortunes after they leave office anyway. Why the hell are we paying them for life when they are receiving a decent salary for their service? What is this? Who came up with these rules? So the first thing I would do is add an amendment to the Constitution to eliminate a salary for life for any member of Congress and even the president. You're telling me a president needs a salary for life when all of them go out and grift out millions upon millions of dollars a year the second they're out of office? That makes no sense. So no tenure, no pension. You collect a salary while you're in office, and you receive no pay when you're out of office. Number two. Congress, past, present, and future, participating in Social Security. In other words, you move it in. There are many other rules that need to be enacted. And this is a letter going around to people. It's called the Buffett Rule. It's being passed around to people. And there's a little fiscal sanity for you on the Savage Nation. WDRC in Pennsylvania. John, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Doctor, I don't think you're weird at all. In fact, I think you're a breath of fresh air. You say what most of us are thinking, and you do it in one of the biggest forums out there, which I applaud you for. So, I mean, keep on doing what you're doing, and I've been listening to you for 20 years at least. And
wow.
Amazing.
That's a lot. Where, in Pennsylvania?
In Pennsylvania and New York, in Florida. You know, I tuned into you years ago, and you've always said it the way it is.
Thank you. Let me give you a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War for being such a long-time listener to the show. That's amazing. No, there are people who drive around the country. It's interesting when you've been on the air for so long. And if you've been in the – look, I've been on the radio for 20 years. So at this point, I'm part of the geography of the media landscape in the minds of many people who will find me. They'll skip signal around the country driving. They'll say, wow, wait, I know his voice. No one sounds like him. Let me see what he's up to today. So that's what it is. This is like a gigantic family thing in a way. That's why I called it the Savage Nation. It's not like we're family where we know each other, but it's a collection of individuals who think in a similar manner, at least politically. Let's put it that way. But why should I assume that another guy or a woman out there who looks so, let's say, straight and normal, straight arrow, is so straight and normal? No one really is. How many people listening to the show consider themselves what I determine as a normal path? I don't know any normal paths. Normal paths bore me, first of all, because I know they're hiding something. I always preferred people who would let it all hang out once. I don't even walk around like a nut in the street. But, I mean, when you get to know somebody, don't you really want to know who they are? You'd like to know a little bit more about who they really are, what they think, what they feel, what they fear, what makes them laugh, what kind of music do they like. What kind of art do they like? Things like that. I mean, who are their favorite authors? No one even talks about that anymore because I don't think that many people read books of that in that sense anymore. I mean, they read popular fiction, yes. They read mystery novels. But in terms of serious fiction, I don't think it exists anymore. I really don't. But those are the things that I'd like to talk about on a more regular basis. I could spend a whole segment on the kind of soap that I use that I just ordered on the internet, because the fragrance is the only kind of fragrance I could take. I'm not going to tell, because if I did, you'd say I'm promoting it. And I'm not. They're not advertisers. I won't tell you the kind of soap I use. WABC Amber, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, hi. I'd like to see you talk about spirituality, because not on the weirdness factor, not you talk about conservative values in your radio station, but I hear when you talk like you're trying to talk about the sicknesses of the soul of the United States, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, that's right. And we have a president who is not making it any better. We need to elect moral, ethical leaders who lead not only through their ideas, but through their actions. And when you see a man beheaded and the president goes off to a golf course, is that not the sign of a person who is weak spiritually? What does that say to you? That's a man who has no moral compass whatsoever. He doesn't even care what you think about him. He's so weak that he doesn't care what you think about him. How about that?
But
I'm not going to do the Bible. I mean, I could do that. You know, but I'm in the mood. I do it. And I'm not in the mood. I don't know what it is. I'm not in the mood to read the Holy Scriptures today. Is that something? I'm the only one in the AM radio who will occasionally dip into my blue Old Testament, which has hundreds and hundreds of post-its in it. And yet today I don't feel like reading any of it. Why is that? It's a Friday. I'll read one piece from Joshua. Here, I flipped it open. Look what opened up. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. That's nice. See, that's what I'd like to hear a leader read on a Friday evening. Like a little Friday show from the White House. If I had a president, I would read one piece from the Old and New Testament once a week, with a little political message attached to it. And that would be something along the lines of what I just read to you. It would be, let me tell those of you who are cutting the heads off our citizens, let me read you something from our Bible. It goes like this. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. And I promise you we will. Now, what would be wrong with a president saying a thing like that and reading from the Bible? The answer is it would be fantastic. It would reinvigorate the nation. People would have hope again. Their eyes would look up and say, holy God, a leader has arisen. Holy God, America can be saved. My goodness, it's not the end of the country. It's the beginning of the country. We don't have such a leader. Not one Republican would dare read a piece of the Bible for fear of being called a religious bigot or a fanatic. That's how intimidated they are of the atheists in the media and the atheists in the intelligentsia. They're so afraid of their own religion that they never, ever mention it. Instead, they walk in shame. So that's the whole story. So I just did it for you. All right, WMAL, Jeremy, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say, God bless you, appreciate the show. Keep the weirdness in there. When I'm frustrated and we the people out here want to scream and holler and think nobody's going to hear us, you get upset on the radio station, you yell real loud, and then go on to the next subject, and it gives us a release because you feel what we feel and everybody gets to hear. We're not crazy down here. We're not happy with the crap that's going on.
And I don't scream as much as I did in my early days. I was a big, big, big angry yeller in the first 5 years of my show, and then I realized I could have much more impact without screaming and yelling, and I last longer. You know what I mean? Now, there are times I'll blow up, but it's not a shtick that I do just, to be heard. But I do hear you. It helps you vent your own feelings. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yes. You're mad, and we're mad, and you vent and blow up and then go on to the next thing. That helps us, too, because we're tired of seeing the same crap all the time and can't do anything about it. And you let the world know you're tired of it, too.
So what would you like? Would you like me to be angrier more often?
No. If something's really frustrating and mad, you can bet the rest of America is frustrated and mad about it. Yell for 10 seconds, go on to the next topic. It's a normal reaction. The other talk show hosts, they're programmed. You know what they're going to say. They're political, political, political. You're allowing the public in the country to vent, and the other show hosts are building us up to a point where it can be used against us by the government.
Okay, my friend, that's good enough. You like my authenticity. That's what you're saying. And the authenticity varies from show to show, from day to day. So let me read you something, only because it's in front of me and I'm into it today. A little piece, 1 minute or less. Here is the 20-year-old Michael Savage from many years ago in the Journal, and I'm saying, I'm reading Camus' The Rebel, and I write particularly important the crystallization of this idea, that there is no unity in life, only in art. Thus, I write, I have been waiting for my own self to somehow become unified before I produce my first important work. Now, however, realizing that unification of my parts is not possible, I will somehow create a more tangible life for myself in this projected novel I am writing. Isn't that interesting? So I was always looking to find a way to bring my thoughts together, if you want to put it to you that way, my selves together. How many of you are shattered into selves and you're frightened of it and you take medication? And I compared that when I was young, when I first discovered that we have multiplicity of selves, to a team of horses that you need to put together in a set of tethers, 16 horses, put them in the same tether, and you're the leader anyway at the end of the day. Don't be afraid of all those parts of yourself, because if you look at Shakespeare and you think about all of the characters he could write about, who were those characters? They were parts of his own soul. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is 25 minutes after the hour. This is the one and only Friday edition of Rock and Roll Friday of the Savage Nation. Mystery flight crashes at sea. F-15 saw pilots slumped in cockpit. Two prominent members of the Rochester, New York business community were thought to be on the small plane. A U.S. Coast Guard official says two aircraft are headed to the site. So God knows that was not terrorism. God knows what happened. Two men on the plane and they crash at sea. They see them fainting on the plane. What is that about? Now a U.S. plane is forced to land in Iran with 200 people aboard. And the Defense Department says, oh, just a misunderstanding of a flight plan. It was a military plane with contractors. Iranian military jets forced this plane to land in Iran. No problem. No problem, because that would cause more problems for dear Obama. Oh, yeah. Just ask Wolf Blitzer. He'll give you the truth. Let's take some callers. KSFO, San Francisco, Donald. Ding, ding. What's on your mind, Donald?
Been listening to you, Michael, for 20 years. My 90-year-old mother turned me on to you, okay?
Uh-huh.
You're a man of all seasons, Michael. You are man of all seasons. Michael, you are a genius. You're my John the Baptist. I'm a Catholic, and we know John the Baptist lost his head, and I don't want you to lose yours, but...
Wait a minute. This is not a good time in history to even bring up that analogy, but go ahead.
Hey, I got to tell you, you know what? You and I might lose our heads together the way things are going. if we don't get something going on against the enemy, and we know who the enemy is.
Well, let me give you an answer to that. If you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. Just remember Kipling. Let them lose their heads first because they're not taking mine.
Exactly, Michael. And you know what I call
it? You got to have that steel in your soul and say they should drop dead. Okay? I'm locked and loaded. Screw you. No one's taking my head. I'll take their head first. That's the right attitude to take. And we need 90 million Americans to think that way. Not run around sitting here fearing some throwback piece of garbage from the Middle East.
It's coming. Our day is coming. Our day is coming.
No, that's what I feel. That's all. Screw them. I'm going to sit and cater to them, those idiots, those welfare recipients, those dirtbags, those throwbacks, those psychotics, those 9th century barbarians. Forget about it. Stop worrying about them so much. Let them worry about you. Let them worry about you better. It's the Savage Nation. Check out Stop the Coming Civil War on my website. Stop the Coming Civil War. It's the only thing we can do is carry this book around. The cover itself is a billboard. I'm going to need you to do it when it comes out in October. It's my last hurrah. I'm not doing another book like this ever. I'm not doing it anymore. This is it. The last shot.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is 33 minutes after the hour on the Savage Nation. We haven't even done much of my sound. It's amazing to me. We have such great sound coming up on the program. And this week we had some of the best sound of the whole year. I couldn't believe what we've had. And I don't know that we're going to get to play much of it, but one of the best was John Kerry saying the real face of Islam is a peaceful religion. Now, you know, you could believe that in a way. Play 31. I want to comment on this, Robert. Would you play clip 31 on Kerry?
The real face of Islam is a peaceful religion based on the dignity of all human beings. It's one where Muslim communities are leading the fight against...
Let's stop right there. On one hand, you can say, okay, that makes sense because most Muslims are not fanatics and they don't want to stir a war up against, you know, a billion people. Okay, I can see where he's coming from. But to give this speech at a time when heads are being cut off and people are claiming they want to create a Muslim nation where they kill Christians and convert them, I mean, I'm sorry, it's the wrong time for Kerry to have given us this this little lecture. Yesterday, by the way, in California, there was a debate between Governor Brown and his Republican competitor, Kash Kerry. And I think you have to hear a little bit of the sound. So listen to Governor Brown versus Kash Kerry in clip 32. Let's hear that one.
I've seen nothing, not a shred in his program that's going to help poor people. Quite the opposite.
Jobs,
it,
really, Governor.
It follows from your bonuses to your buddies at Goldman Sachs. You're handing out money, you can get everybody to go along.
My dad wasn't governor.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to 33 now.
The one that I love last week personally, Governor, I can now bring my dogs to restaurants. I'm a dog lover. I'm grateful for that. What they're not working on is rebuilding the middle class. You know, Governor, you say, oh, you're making incremental changes. We're 46th in education. We're 44th for jobs. We're number one in poverty. The time for incrementalism is long since past, Governor.
Now, finally, the Republican challenger, Kash Kerry, hammers Brown in clip 34. Let's hear that one.
He's raising your gas prices to fund his vanity project called the high-speed train, what I call the crazy train.
Okay, so it was a vigorous debate. Naturally, the newspaper said that Brown won because it's owned by the Democrat Party. You're never going to say Republican won. I expect there could be an upset, but it's almost, it's a long shot because they own the unions, and the unions, as you well know, stuff ballots in a way you could never imagine. There's a soundbite I haven't played that's really worthwhile playing. And that's this. Russia, that is the separatists in Ukraine, worked out a peace deal with the Ukrainians, which is good news. War was averted. And yet McCain went crazy saying that was a bad thing. Listen to clip 5. This is not to be believed.
There have been hundreds of Ukrainian soldiers killed in the last week. The hospitals are full. They're brave and they'll fight and they're not asking for us to fight for them. But they're just overwhelmed and it's really tragic because we refuse to give intelligence information and weapons to Ukrainians to defend themselves. It's really shameful.
I think what's clear about McCain is that he's simply a front man for the defense industry, for the defense manufacturers. It's as simple as that. He's their go-to guy. Wherever there's a conflict, he wants to send weapons. So that's pretty much what it is. I don't think this guy cares one way or the other who wins, as long as weapons can be sold. Listen to clip six.
Armor has poured into eastern Ukraine, and that requires anti-armor capabilities. Uh-huh. We also have to give them some long-term training.
All right, so he's a front for contractors and military manufacturers. It's that simple. I pray to God McCain is stopped from running for the presidency. It'll be the end of the Republican Party for 100 years if this lunatic is even seen by the American people in such a forum. It's over. It's just over. I mean, they averted war in Ukraine, and this guy's unhappy. What more do you need to know? Infidels, please. You agree with me? Here's another crazy story. U.S. doctor with Ebola arrives in Nebraska. Now, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. The Centers for Disease Control has become so crazy, it's become the Centers for Disease Spreading. It should be renamed the CDS. Why would they take a doctor with Ebola and bring him for treatment in America when they should contain the first rule of epidemiology is you cut off, you isolate the disease at its source. You don't bring sick people into a healthy community. Everything this administration does is upside down and insane. A doctor who became infected with Ebola while working in Liberia arrived today at a Nebraska hospital for treatment. Are you listening to this? Officials at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha have said Dr. Rick Sacra, 51, will be treated at the hospital's 10-bed special isolation unit on the seventh floor. Now, why would they do that? There are isolation units in Nigeria. There are isolation units in other countries in Africa. There are isolation units in Europe. Why is this dumb administration doing this to us? Why? It makes no sense to me. Local media reported shortly after 6 a.m. that a plane carrying Sacra landed at Offutt Air Force Base south of the Omaha suburb of Bellevue. Blah, blah, blah. And they hustled him into the facility. The team is discussing experimental treatments, including using blood serum from a patient who has recovered from Ebola. Blah, blah, blah. So in other words, they're experimenting on him. But they're experimenting on him here in the United States of America, which is the last place on earth he should have been brought. Do you agree or disagree with me? I'm asking you. Listen to this. The president of the hospital said that this sick man had received excellent care in Liberia, but that the Nebraska facility has advanced monitoring equipment and can provide more treatment options. But what about the risk to those people around him in the hospital? What about the risk to those people outside the hospital? What about the risk that's being imposed upon the American people? KSFO Cameron, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, how's it going? So I just wanted to throw two things out there. For one, just for everybody, why it is that they like you, just because you speak so eloquently, and that the common, you know, kid nowadays, whether or not they truly understand what you have to say, it's just so intriguing to be able to listen to you. And my second thing, to answer all of the questions as far as what's going on in the news, from the CDC to the border to everything, is that common sense is dead.
Common sense is dead. Everything is wrong. We have an idiot for a president. We have a fanatic in the White House who's bent on one thing and one thing only, which is pushing the far left agenda. That's all that's on his mind. Nothing else goes through his brain. Advance the agenda, get minorities to vote for Democrats, and then his day's work is done. Period. That's all that's on his mind. I agree with you. Now let's go to Tom in Minneapolis for a call right here on the Savage Nation. Tom, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I got to tell you, on that English car seat thing, you are exactly right. I rented a Land Rover for a weekend, and I'm a tall guy, and wow.
And the worst. The Range Rovers, they're hard as a rock, and they roll you around like you're on a merry-go-round.
Yeah, and if you like the Rolls-Royce, get the long Phantom, and you got one such smooth ride, and you deserve it.
I tell you the car I like, I'd never buy it. There's a two-door Rolls that's a knockout. It's just a killer. It's got like an aluminum roof. It's unbelievable. I forget what it's called, but I would never buy a Rolls. I'd look like a retired Garmin Center merchant. I can't do it. I'd have to get a strap-on ponytail for it, you know. I'd have to have a bimbo sitting. Who would drive that car? That's a Hollywood, you know, it's a Ray Donovan client kind of car. That's who would drive a car. Who else would drive a car like that? So here we are in the Savage Nation. The pressure on everyone in the media is so hot, heavy right now, those of us on the conservative side. It's wearing us because we know that there's a war against us that's being conducted not only within by Obama and Holder and the entire Democrat socialist machine, but outside the country by the Islamists and their fellow travelers. And so we get up here every day and we try to, like, not alarm you as much as inform you. Say, well, what can I do about it? Well, fortunately for us, we have a Second Amendment, by the way. I think the only thing that stands between us and total subjugation to this socialist regime and their minions, frankly, is their fear of the average American who's armed to the teeth. I really mean that. I know you, maybe you don't understand how important it is, but the Second Amendment was not created for us to go duck hunting. It was created specifically to prevent a dictatorship from arising in this country. And I still don't realize, I still don't know whether we can stop it anyway, because they're so armed to the teeth and they're so divisive, and they're looking for a pretext to take your guns away. They're looking for a pretext, in my opinion. And I wrote the book, Stop the Coming Civil War, specifically because that's what I fear. And I made every page of Stop the Coming Civil War bear witness to the liberal left-wing politics that eat away at the principles that you patriots hold most dear. So, you know, you hear me on the radio every day. Sometimes I joke around. Sometimes I get angry. Sometimes I laugh. Sometimes I talk about the dog. Sometimes I talk about meatballs. But I'm begging you to use your power at the voting booth and join your fellow Americans in helping to stop the coming civil war. Now, what do I mean by that? If you'll lay out for yourself the tale that I tell, which is more gripping than any movie script in my book, you're going to see that you, the American patriot, can save the country. It's a call to action. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is just hold the book in your hand and you'll send the message. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N.
Hot Talk 560. KSFO.
Here comes a savage summary of all of the best sound bites of the day and of the week. Let's go back to 2007, where George Bush made a frighteningly accurate warning on Iraq back in 2007.
I know some in Washington would like us to start leaving Iraq now. To begin withdrawing before our commanders tell us we are ready would be dangerous for Iraq, for the region, and for the United States. It would mean surrendering the future of Iraq to Al-Qaeda. It would mean that we'd be risking mass killings on a horrific scale. It would mean we allow the terrorists to establish a safe haven in Iraq to replace the one they lost in Afghanistan. It would mean increasing the probability that American troops would have to return at some later date to confront an enemy that is even more dangerous.
Now let's listen to the esteemed chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Dianne Shopping Cart Feinstein, who's very encouraged by President Obama's pledge to degrade and destroy ISIS. Last week she was disturbed that he wasn't doing enough. Now she's thrilled.
I would agree with that plan, and I think you can put together the strategy to do that. See, I have no doubt we'll either fight them now or we'll fight them later, because they're not going to stop.
Eric Holder, who's trying to stir up racial animus in Missouri, is unaware of any 9/11-related terrorist threats against America. I guess the white men are quiet.
We're not in possession of any specific, credible information that would evidence a threat to the homeland. But we are also cognizant of the situation as it exists in the Middle East now, threats that have been made and that our allies, for instance, in the U.K., are dealing with, and we are very sensitive to that, and to the extent that we find anything, we will take the appropriate action. But we're not in possession, at least at this point, of any specific credible threats to the homeland.
McCain is unhappy that there's a ceasefire in Ukraine. Very unhappy. He's just pissed off that the U.S. refusal to help the Ukrainians is so shameful he doesn't know what to do. Listen to these.
There have been hundreds of of Ukrainian soldiers killed in the last week. The hospitals are full. They're brave and they'll fight, and they're not asking for us to fight for them, but they're just overwhelmed, and it's really tragic because we refuse to give intelligence information and weapons to Ukrainians to defend themselves. It's really shameful.
In the next set of clips, John McCain sees the domino theory all over again. He's still stuck in Vietnam. He says after taking Ukraine, Putin will turn to Moldova and the Baltic states. John, the Vietnam War is over, John.
Could I say I also believe that we have to understand that if Vladimir Putin succeeds here, takes eastern Ukraine, a land bridge to Crimea, next is Moldova, and next is the Baltic states. And what he has suffered in response to this naked aggression has been minimal.
Rand Paul blasts Hillary Clinton for prioritizing climate change above terrorism. Very good, Rand. I'd like to see you come out against illegal immigration.
There was a quote from her saying ISIS was not a threat to America. But what I would say is that for her to be out there saying that the biggest threat to our safety and to our well-being is climate change, I think goes to the heart of the matter of whether or not she has the wisdom to lead the country, which I think it's obvious that she doesn't.
Meanwhile, Attorney General Eric Holder is investigating the Ferguson, Missouri Police Department for doing their job. He won't be satisfied until they stand down and let the whole city burn to the ground. Listen to this.
These anecdotal accounts underscore the history of mistrust of law enforcement in Ferguson that has received a good deal of attention. As a result of this history, and following an extensive review of documented allegations and other available data, we have determined that there's cause for the Justice Department to open an investigation to determine whether Ferguson police officials have engaged in a pattern or practice of violations of the United States Constitution or federal law.
In Missouri, the state Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal says there's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Eric Holder. God forbid. God save us all.
The first reaction I have, there's a new sheriff in town and his name is Eric Holder. So I'm overjoyed with what I've heard today. There needs to be some kind of reform in St. Louis County Police Department. Obviously, there needs to be an expansion of anything that has ever happened in Ferguson in the recent past. I've heard numerous stories from my constituents about what has been going on. This is a very good day for my constituents. This is a good message for them to hear that finally they are going to be heard. And so we're going to move forward and we're going to cooperate with the investigation and just move forward and do the best job that we can and be supportive to Eric Holder and the Department of Justice.
A spokesmouth for the racist La Raza group, the brown supremacist organization, says that we expect Obama to fulfill his promise to us on immigration.
We, as a community, expect him to fulfill his promises. And I have to tell you that it was over a year ago, that the Senate passed their comprehensive immigration bill. And Speaker Boehner told our community, wait, the Republicans will put a bill together and we'll get it through. And then nothing happened. And now there are some Senate Democrats who are asking us to wait again. You know, we're done waiting.
No, Janet. He should fulfill his promise to the U.S. Constitution and listen to the people, not to disgusting lobbyists like La Raza. Well, those are some of the wonderful sounds of the week and of the day here on the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening, and over the weekend, please go to BarnesandNoble.com and order a copy right now of my soon-to-be-released smash bestseller, You're Gonna Have to Own.
Tackling the subjects they told you never to talk about.